Thank you, Tim, for that good introduction. I'm not deserving of the friendship that we have, but I'm thankful for it. I have been preaching since 1992 full-time. And every time I will go and do a gospel meeting or a lectureship or whatever, the first thing I will ask the congregation is, do you have your Bibles? Let me see your Bibles. This is a lectureship. We're studying God's Word. Let me see your Bible. I've got my sword and I got my dagger. So I've got both of them. And I just completed a meeting over in Saltville, and I visit there on Sunday night helping them. And the preacher over there, Philip Harris, he has kind of got into the habit now. Where's your Bible? And everybody hold their hand up. Year before, I had them sitting up at the front. They're still sitting up at the front. So maybe we need to have a gospel meeting, Tim, and we can help folks come up to the front and be a part of the congregation here. But we're glad that you are with us this morning. Let me give you a couple of commercials before I begin. If you have access to the Internet, if you will go to arisetotruth.com, that is a radio broadcast that maybe you might be able to reach. I think this is almost the border of where it's capable of reaching. If you will go and click on the link at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can hear a live radio broadcast. Brother Wesley Simons, Tim Phillips, myself, and sometimes Bill Haywood, if his schedule will permit it. That is arise2truth.com. They're live streaming now. Before that happened, we had a capable or a possible audience of about 2 million people. Now it's unlimited. I like to tell people 64 billion people. And so we're doing everything that we can to teach the truth and do away with denominationalism, get back to what Christ wanted his church to be united. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, is kind of like an invitation song. And I don't know if you have noticed or not, but all during this week we've been talking about Christ. And now my subject is, how shall we neglect so great a salvation, an invitation? And then next hour, Lord permitting, Brother Clint Harper will say, why call you me Lord, Lord? It's almost like we're being introduced to Jesus. Now, why aren't we following Jesus? And are we prepared to meet Jesus? Now, I don't know if Tim had that in mind when he did these questions this way, but that's the way it kind of fell in to my studies. In chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, the Hebrews writer is wanting us to get to know Jesus. He is wanting us to realize that he is greater than the angels. He is God the Son. And then as he moves on down through chapter 1, he wants us to realize how we are to worship him. Yes, we worship Christ. We worship God. We worship the Holy Spirit. And he's wanting us to see how the proper way is to worship Christ. And then as he begins chapter 2, actually he didn't begin it. Writers many years ago put it into chapters and verses, and we appreciate that because it helps us study. He wants us to see there is a salvation that you and I do not need to neglect. Now, what I want to do for the next few moments is to urge each one of us to look at our personal salvation to the point of how are we going to respond to Christ? How are we going to respond to God in the hereafter of why we did or why we did not obey his gospel? So as we think about that, salvation is used in two senses in the New Testament. The term is used from deliverance, from the power and effects from past sins. You recall Mark 16:16? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's salvation. You also remember when Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 46, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached first from Jerusalem. These verses have been talked about all weekend long. But there's also a term that sometimes you and I do not recognize, and that is the eternal salvation in heaven. Folks, we have salvation, but we don't have eternal salvation. Let me explain. I can go to the nearest bus station, to Greyhound, and I can buy a bus ticket that will take me to anywhere in the United States. Let's just say Dallas, Texas. I have that ticket in my hand that gives me permission to get on that bus and make that trip. But like many of us, we put that ticket up somewhere in a safe place, and we forget where that safe place is. Time comes for me to go to the bus station, and I say, I've got a ticket to Dallas, Texas. Show it to me. I can't find it. You can't get on the bus. Well, I bought the ticket. You can't get on the bus. Well, why can't I? I can give you a credit card receipt. You don't have the ticket. So therefore, I don't get to go to Dallas, Texas and ride that bus. Just because I have been obedient through baptism does not guarantee me eternal life. If it does, then we need to start preaching the doctrine, once saved, always saved. It does not happen. We fall short of the glory of God. Now, this is what the Hebrews writer is helping us see. We get salvation from baptism, but we have to keep our salvation. And that's what sometimes we neglect. Oh, yeah, preacher, I've been baptized, but that's not enough. I'm not faithful. I'm not growing. I'm not doing what the Lord tells me to do. Why, yeah, I'm going to use Clint's verse. Why call you me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I command you. I had someone ask me not too long ago, where is our command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Why, the very idea of asking this. He doesn't understand about neglecting the salvation. That's part of our salvation, is doing the work of God, doing the work of Christ. And many neglect this. Now, there's a definition of neglect, and there's two definitions really that I want us to remember as we look at this lesson. Number one, it means lack of sufficient attention. You see, we can neglect our health and it can go down very fast. But yet there's also a neglect that is not rebellion, but it's indifference. Oh, you got your opinion, I've got my opinion. I'm neglecting to see what God's word says. And a lot of times, this is the way the religious world is it not? You got your opinion, I've got my opinion. We're all going to heaven, we're just going in different ways. Folks, that will not work. I used to be an over-the-road truck driver. Dispatcher tells me to go from point A to point B. I better go that way. If I went any other way, I'll still get there. I'd be fired. Well, guess what? If we don't follow the path that the Lord has set out for us, may I use the term, we'll get fired? We'll be fired up, but it won't be in the way that we want. So therefore, we do not need to neglect this salvation. Let's not have our opinion. Let's not be indifferent to it. Let's all come to the unity of the faith, that where the Bible speaks, I speak. Where it's silent, I'm silent. And if I speak, let me speak as the oracles of God. Oh, and by the way, if any man asks you a question or me a question, let me be ready to answer it. The only way that I can answer it is to be prepared, and that is by studying God's word. Now let's look at verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? My friends, in order for us to not neglect the salvation, we must learn what to do to be saved from the Lord. You could leave this building, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's supposed to be a church right on the corner over here, or just right down the road. You go ask them what to do to be saved, they'll give you an opinion. You go up the road a little ways further. You ask another denomination, what shall I do to be saved? They will give you this opinion. You keep going, and everyone that you ask, you possibly get a different answer, don't you? Sure you do. But when you ask the Lord, what shall I do to be saved? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Had some young men come over one time when I was working on a house when we lived in North Carolina. And they said, are you a Christian? Yes. What do you do? I'm a preacher. Oh, well, we want to talk to you. No, they didn't either. They said, have you been saved? Well, yes. Have you been baptized? I said, yes, before I was saved. Oh, no, you're saved. You got a Bible? Yes. I turned over to Mark 16:16. My friends, it is so simple. A person without an education can understand it. And I said, you ever watch that show where you follow the bouncing ball? They said, yes. I said, follow the pointing finger. That's exactly what I told them. Read it with me. He that believeth and is, what's the next word? Saved. Now, you boys look like you're educated. You're in high school, right? Yes. What's that word? Baptized. Okay, well, let's read it again. He that believeth and is saved. Well, wait a minute here. We talked for 15 minutes. I couldn't get through to him. Finally, the older gentleman walked up there and said, boys, we got to go. Because he had heard about 5 minutes of it. He knew that they were wrong and he was wrong, but they didn't want to admit it. That's their opinion, that they're saved. How shall we be saved if we neglect so great a salvation? Jesus says it. Why aren't we listening to it? In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Remember, Jesus said at one time, this is the verse, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Folks, that's through salvation. That's it. He can draw everybody to him in belief, but James says that the devils believed and trembled. He wants more than this for you and me. He wants every one of us to go to heaven, yet he knows. And that's why he said on the Sermon on the Mount, some will make it, some will don't, because they won't go through the straight and difficult way. They'll want to take the express way. Peter says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the hardest thing to do, is to say, I am wrong. We have that Fonzie syndrome when it comes to religion. I believe and I'm okay. No, you're wrong. I'm not. You're wrong. My friends, if I don't do it the Lord's way, I'm lost. There's just no doubt about it. But Jesus says, I can know the truth. And the truth will make me free of what? Sin. Guilt. Free from the gates of hell. And why is it I neglect this great salvation? Now notice what he says here in Hebrews 2. He says that it was first spoken by the Lord And the Lord confirmed it. Remember in John chapter 17, he says, Father, glorify me as I've glorified you. I have done what you have sent me to do. He said on one occasion, his meat, his desire, his fulfillment, his strength was in doing what God had sent him to do. Where does our strength lie from? Gold's Gym, supplements, the right type of food. My strength should come from God's Word. And when I neglect this, I neglect the inner man. I neglect the soul. But notice in verse 4 now. I know it's about verse 3, but you have to look at the whole context here. God also bearing witness, both, watch it, with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own word, own will. The Lord confirmed the message of the Great Commission. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. My friends, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. You're the light of the city. You're set on a hill. You're the salt of the earth. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works. I'm confirming that I'm a child of Christ. I'm a child of God by the things that I do. This is what Paul addressed in Galatians chapter 6 in the context of verses 1 through 10. But especially verse 10. As we therefore have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. You know what it was said about Jesus? It wasn't recorded in the book of Acts, that he went about doing good. My friends, when we do good, we are confirming that Christ is living in us. By the way that we dress, by the way that we talk, by the way that we live on this earth, we're either saying God lives in me or the devil lives in me. There is no other choice given by God's word, because I will be judged by this word. Remember what Paul said in different occasions in Romans and 1 Corinthians, that we're all going to stand before the judgment bar of God and give an account for what we've done in this body. If I have not done, Matthew chapter 25, the last part, sick, visited me not, in prison, you visited me not, naked, you clothed me not, hungry, you fed me not. If I haven't done these things, surely I'm not going to teach God's word. And I'm not going to live for him. So the word must be confirmed in me. My friends, the message of salvation does not come from the Old Testament. It's already been proven this week. Now, it was prophesied of it, but it didn't come from the Old Testament. It was prophesied of John the Baptist. Salvation did not come from him, even though he was the forerunner of Christ. It did not come through the visions and dreams that men like Joel and Ezekiel had. The Lord didn't appear to you in a dream. Now, you might dream, but he doesn't appear to you in a dream. And you sure don't need a prophet to tell you what to do. This is why it's written down in God's word. But I think a lot of times we don't understand that we can neglect, or we will neglect, God's word. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an what? Evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. Now I want you to see how that word is used again in the book of Hebrews. I know you don't want me to, but I'm going to do it anyway. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. You already know what verse 25 says. But do you know what verse 24 says? What is our purpose in coming together? For you see, I could assemble with God in my home. Not according to Hebrews 10. Watch verse 24. Let us consider one another. What? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, I want you to look up here for a minute. How can I stir you up to good love? Well, that's not me. I'm not here all the time. How can Tim stir you up to love and good works if you were not here? It's impossible. What you need to try to do, Tim, sometime and see how it works. Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so were not here Sunday night. So you call them up and you preach the sermon to them that you preached Sunday night that they didn't hear. I wonder how that would go over. What about Wednesday night Bible study? The assembling of ourselves. Look at verse 25. We say the assembly. Folks, if it said assembly, that would give us the right to choose which one we wanted to be at. But it says the assembling of ourselves. Folks, we neglect this great salvation. What a privilege we have to come together in like precious faith, to sing, blend our voices together in psalm, to commune around the Lord's table, remembering the body that was pierced, the blood that was spilled, and to say, I want this church to grow. I want it to reach out. I want it to help, so therefore I contribute. It's not just to pay the preacher. It's just not to keep the utilities going. But is to reach out beyond the four walls of this building. We have neglected so great a salvation when we fail to be at the assembling of the saints. My friends, I've said this and I truly believe it. What better time for the world to end than in the assembling of the saints together. That means I can reach out and grab Clint's arm. I can reach over here and grab Miss Della's arm. And we can all grab each other's hands and arms. And we can all go up into heaven together. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I will see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. But my friends, if I neglect so great a salvation, I will miss out on the greatest part of eternity, and that is living with Christ. Being like Thomas, let me see your hands. Let me see your side. I want to be with the one who created all of this. I want to be going up to him and say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. But if I neglect this great salvation, well, Brother Mike, I've been obedient. We passed that, folks. We're in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm doing those things that he wants me to do. For you see, if I neglect this, then my heart can become so hardened that it won't even affect me. They have interviewed people that have been mass murderers. And they will say that the first murder that they committed really tore them up. But the more that they did, it did not affect them. Guess what, folks? In your daily Bible study, not reading, study to show yourself approved unto God. In your daily praise to God. In your weekly worship to God. The more you miss, the more it takes to get you back on track spiritually. And I want you to think about that. Let that soak in for a few seconds. You're looking at me and say, well, that'll never happen to me. Oh, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I was reared in a family that was members of the Lord's church. You're looking at one that fell away for at least 5 years. Oh yeah, I would walk into the Lord's house, to the worship, in the place of worship that we would assemble. I would play the part of the hypocrite. But my friends, someone loved me. And they brought me back. And I made a vow to God that I would never leave him again. Because it was pointed out to me, when is the Lord going to come? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells me, tells you, tells the whole world, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, there will be no more times to grab hold to this great salvation that the Hebrews writer was talking about. My friends, it's kind of like the commercial that is seen on TV where the guy's out watering his yard. You ever seen this? And his house is on fire. And the neighbor comes up to him and says, your house is on fire. Oh, it's just a little fire. It'll go away. And what they refer to is heart attacks. You know, the signs. Don't ignore the signs, my friends. Don't ignore the signs of God's word. Not what the world says about, oh, it's the signs and the times of when God's going to come. No, the signs and the times are in God's word. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The reason he didn't tell us when is because we would procrastinate. You ever thought about that? Now, if we're honest, how many of us wait till the very last moment to do something? Y'all trying to hide it, but you can't. My wife complains, why do you get to the building so early? Because I want to get the seat I want. You come in 2 minutes till, well, I can't sit here. Can't sit here. Oh, man, I got to sit up there. I'm going to be close to the preacher. He won't know if I'm sleeping or listening. What was that Brother Daniels was talking about? Sleepy Hollow? Don't come wearing sunglasses. It's a dead giveaway. You're sleeping. But my friends, we're also sleeping spiritually if we neglect that great of salvation. My friends, we've already talked about judgment. But think about how can we avoid the wrath of God? How can we avoid not being ready for judgment? By not neglecting the great salvation. Now let me give you a few things here of why men neglect. Now we've been talking about this, but let me just jot these down. Because they love the pleasure of sin. Number one, that's found in Hebrews chapter 12. An evil heart, sin, is not conducive to eternal life. So men want to have their pleasure. I got to have my time to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. Folks, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what God wants us to do. And what God wants us to be. He wants us to be with Him. Why are we neglecting so great a salvation and privilege? You see, we're kind of like Felix in Acts chapter 24. We're looking for that convenient season when it's good for me to obey the gospel. I want you to look at verse 25 of Acts 24 as we close. When Paul reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment. We are just like Felix. You remember? Go away for now. Well, what you said, I really enjoyed it, Paul. It really sounded good. But when I'm ready to obey the gospel, I'll call for you and I'll get it done. The sad thing is, my friends, the Bible never records where that convenient day came for him. And from what the Bible indicates, he never obeyed the gospel and he died lost. Think about the cares of this world, our responsibilities, our professions, the work that we do. Reminds me of Luke chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. You know, in the context of this, there were excuses made for why they would not be at the feast. Every one of us could make an excuse why not to do something that the Lord has commanded. When is the first time you've ever told your boss, "Boss, I can't be here today because I can't be here tonight because I want to do what I want to do"? Normally they'll say, "Well, you just go ahead and do what you want to do and don't come back." Are we that bold to tell God Almighty, "Lord, I know you said assemble on Sunday. I know you told me to do this. I know you told me to do this. But Lord, I haven't got time. I'm out here looking for my $1 million. Good friend in Mississippi says, "You know, said I've been looking for that $1 million and I couldn't find it, so I've just started on my second million." And I think sometimes that's the way we are. My friends, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have anything. Why are you making an excuse? Why are you neglecting him? And yet, some people think that God, well, he's a just God. He's a loving God. He's going to let me go into heaven. How many times have you heard that? Yes, you have. My friends, if he lets them in, why are we doing what we're doing? My Bible tells me in the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 11, there is no partiality with God. When he says do it, it would be to my best interest eternally to do it. Why neglect so great a salvation? My friends, James 4:17 says neglect is sin. Does it say that? Yes, it does. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the way we read it is, it's okay. No, it is sin. Saint Jerome said years ago in an old song, "Why not come to him now? There's danger and death in delay." Today is the day of salvation. You'll have that opportunity to make it right. It's not if you need to, but you need to, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How shall we neglect? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?